Please turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 3. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 3. Why do we look both ways before we cross the street instead of just trusting God to keep us safe? Well, there's a Bible word for that, and it's prudence. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Remember, our theme for the year is redeeming the time. But we're not talking about time, per se. We're talking about things God has provided for us that help us to make best use of our time. And one of those things is prudence. So let's pray and ask the Lord to help us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for every word you included in the Bible. Thank you for this word. Thank you for what it means. Thank you for providing this resource to us. So, Lord, today we want to understand what this prudence is all about. Help us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Imagine you're living along a river. In fact, you are living downriver from a a flood control dam. And someone comes knocking on your door and says, there's a crack in the dam and no one knows if it's going to hold. So do you evacuate or do you stay and hope the dam holds? Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 3 might help in this situation where it says, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. I'll have a little more to say about that verse a little later on. But today I want to talk to you about this matter of prudence. It is true that we do not need to be afraid because God is still on the throne. But does our confidence in God mean that we can throw caution to the wind? As we trust in God, God also wants us to be prudent. There are four connotations to this word, nuances, we might say, to this word prudence. One is to know and understand. Another is to have insight. The third is to be sensible. And the fourth is to beware. We're going to look at each of these four nuances of the word prudent. First, this matter of knowing and understanding. Proverbs 13, verse 16. And you'll notice that basically what we're doing is a word study of the word prudent in the book of Proverbs today. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 16. Every prudent man dealeth with knowledge. He dealeth with knowledge. In other words, he deliberates. He works with, he thinks about what he knows in order to thoroughly understand. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 15. 18:15 says, the heart of the prudent getteth knowledge. A prudent person understands the danger of ignorance and the value of possessing appropriate and thorough knowledge. Too many people live on assumptions. They hear a little bit and assume a lot. Regarding this crack in the dam, this man who's going door to door and cautioning people regarding the crack in the dam heard that there was a crack in the dam. That's all he heard. He didn't hear the part about whether or not it was going to hold. All he heard was that there was a crack, and he assumed that then no one knew if it was going to hold. Now, what is a good question a prudent person would ask when told there's a crack in the dam? How big is the crack? perhaps the crack is just a little tiny thing. And someone mentioned, you know, there's a crack in the dam. And this other person just assumes the rest. Do we ever do that? Hear a little bit and assume the rest? Here's another illustration. Someone said, Joe left. That's all he said. And that's all that is heard. Joe left. And someone assumes he left his wife. And start spreading the rumor. Did you know Joe left his wife? But that's not what actually happened. Joe simply left the house and went to the store. But because you assume something, rather than being prudent and finding out knowledge, you create very unfortunate situations. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 18 says, the simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. Know, want to know and understand. The second nuance of this word prudence is this matter of having insight. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 12. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 12. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. What is a witty invention? A witty invention is a device or a plot, a plan that someone has made up. And to find out these witty inventions is to discover them. A wise person is able to discern when other people have invented, notice the word invention, witty invention, when someone has invented, when he's made up, a plan that is witty, that has less than righteous motives. We probably all get spam phone calls and spam emails. Anybody? Yeah. I normally pick up on them pretty quickly, but I almost fell for one the other day. Got an email telling me that Norton Antivirus had charged my credit card $299. Now, I am a member of LifeLock. I would be an advocate for LifeLock to protect your identity and your credit and all of that. And one potential add-on to LifeLock is Norton, but I don't use Norton. I use a different antivirus in my computer. So I don't need Norton. So when they said they had charged my credit card, I assumed, fell prey to assuming that this was connected to LifeLock. I called the phone number that was in the email to ask them to cancel this. And when they said I needed to go on my computer and fill out some information for them, the red flags went up. And I hung up. A witty invention. Writing to a person claiming to be a representative of Norton and we've charged your credit card. I immediately looked up my credit card on the bank website, and there was no charge. It was a witty invention. A prudent person will be able to detect witty inventions. In other words, these plans that are invented that have less than righteous motives. This is why Solomon was as good as he was in exercising wisdom. Solomon was also prudent. Would you go over to 2 Chronicles chapter 2? And verse 3, 2 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 3, Solomon is getting ready to build the temple. And a man by the name of Huram is the king of Tyre to the north, a Gentile country, but where there were a lot of cedar trees. And David had purchased a lot of cedar trees from King Huram. And so Solomon, in verse 3, writes to the king of Tyre and saying, "As thou didst deal with David my father and didst send him cedars to build him an house to dwell therein, even so deal with me." And so look down in verses 11 and 12, and this Gentile man understands, sees, perceives how wise and prudent Solomon is. And notice Huram's response, verse 11, "Then Huram the king of Tyre answered in writing, which he sent to Solomon, because the Lord hath loved his people, he hath made thee king over them. Huram said moreover, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, that made heaven and earth, who have given to David the king a wise son, endued with prudence and understanding, that might build an house for the Lord and an house for his kingdom." Prudence was as much a part of a Solomon's wisdom as the basic elements of wisdom itself. And I think it was prudence that helped Solomon have insight enough. Remember when he threatened to divide the baby between two mothers, he was able to have insight into motherhood to know that the real mother would not want her child divided in half. Now, there is a caution. Prudence can be misapplied. On the one hand, you might say Solomon was very prudent in taking wives of the daughters of kings from many countries, because as long as the daughter of those kings were in the household of Solomon, that was a guarantee that that country would never attack Israel. You might say that was prudent, but it led to a great spiritual downfall in Solomon's life. So you have to be careful that you follow all of the tenets of prudence and not misapply it as Solomon did. Part of insight is this matter we find in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 8. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 8. "The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way." He knows his destination. He knows how he is going to get there. He knows why he is going, and he knows where, what he is going to do after he arrives. And so there's a lot of planning and preparation and understanding involved in going on your way. Simple illustration. How many of us have ever run out of gas? Do you ever run out of gas? You mean you don't run out of gas? You must be very prudent people. Understanding your way. I think part of that very practical aspect of this is knowing how much gas you have in the gas tank so you can reach your destination. I ran out of gas one time with Joe Feltenberger. Remember, he used to go with me to Connecticut to the conferences? We had been to Connecticut to the conference, driven all the way back from Connecticut. We're coming across the bridge on Susquehanna River. Ran out of gas. That was not very prudent. Understanding your way means you have considered all of the elements involved in going on your way and you have made the necessary preparations. Be prudent. Have insight into what is going to be needed. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 15 says, "The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going." The simple person believes everything he hears. The prudent man, on the other hand, considers every possibility and uses discernment to choose which is right. We hear a lot of talk these days about misinformation. Have you heard that term? Misinformation? Now, I could use some very direct illustrations in the political realm, but I won't go there. This event comes from November 2015. A story claimed that Milwaukee County Sheriff David A. Clark had been exposed as a member of the Ku Klux Klan. The story about Clark, who is an African American, was published by a website called the National Report and was sent to 449,000 people before it was discovered it wasn't true. Misinformation. A prudent man looketh well to his going. He considers information and is careful to select truth rather than falsehood. For this one, let's go to the book of Amos. Amos chapter 5 and verse 13. Still talking about the necessity of having insight into things. Amos chapter 5 and verse 13, and this time a prudent person knows when to be silent. Amos chapter 5 and verse 13. "Therefore the prudent shall keep silence in that time, for it is an evil time." Well, just back up a couple of verses to verses 11 and 12 and see how Amos is characterizing this time in which this prudent man is living. He says in verse 11, "For as much therefore as your treading is upon the poor, and ye take from him burdens of wheat, ye have built houses of hewn stone, but ye shall not dwell in them. Ye have planted pleasant vineyards, but ye shall not drink wine of them. For I know your manifold transgressions and your mighty sins. They afflict the just. They take a bribe. They turn aside the poor in the gate from their right." Pretty bad times. As Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 7 says, there's a time to keep silence and a time to speak. Amos suggested that in the volatile times in which they were living, the evil dominating men's lives in that time, it was a time to keep silence. And the prudent would know that. Is there a time to speak out when something is wrong? Absolutely. There is a time to speak. But there may be a time to keep silence when personal harm may come to you or your family, and the prudent person will understand the difference. So, prudent people want to know the truth. Prudent people have insight into things. The third matter is prudent people are sensible. Sensible. To be sensible is the ability to perceive and make sense out of circumstances and then respond to them appropriately. Go to Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 16. Proverbs chapter 12. Verse 16. A fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame. This goes kind of along with Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 12. Where in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 12 it says, "For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret." I think the way we are to understand this, a prudent man covereth shame, is that a prudent man understands that there are some things it's not necessary to talk about in public. To cover shame is to protect people from being exposed to things that would only make them embarrassed to hear. For example, but if I would give you an example, that would defeat the whole point, wouldn't it? We don't need to describe ugly things that take place in this world to know they exist. There is a device prudent people can use to allude to things without using vulgar descriptions or shameful things. It's called euphemisms. Perhaps you're familiar with that word. Prudent people know how to cover shame. Prudent people also know how to keep confidentiality. Ooh, this is a really important one. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 23. A prudent man concealeth knowledge. I understand this to be related to the matter of confidentiality, the ability to keep secrets. To conceal knowledge is not to keep things from people that they ought to or have the right to know, but rather it is to keep in confidence something that is private and others don't need to know. A friend tells you something that is going on between him and his wife, and he asks you not to tell anyone else. He just needed someone to talk to. A prudent person does not then go to prayer meeting and say so-and-so is having marital difficulties. As far as the prudent man is concerned, mum's the word. Did you ever hear that expression? Mum's the word. I was curious about that. You know that comes from 1370, the year 1370. Go all the way back there. And the word mum is an expression of like zip, you know, zip it, MMM, not MUM, but MMM. That was the original expression. In other words, I'm not saying anything. Mum's the word. A prudent man is able to keep a secret. And prudence is more than a mental exercise. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 21. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 21. The wise in heart shall be called prudent. It has to come from the heart. It can't be mechanical. It must be authentic, sincere, and unpretending. So that brings us to the last nuance of this word. Prudent people are able to beware of potential danger. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 5. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 5. A fool despises his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. Reproof, telling someone what is wrong and explaining to them how to correct it. Failure to heed reproof and make necessary corrections in one's life puts a person on a trajectory that can be extremely unfortunate and lead to a life of sin and even of crime. If you're going to go somewhere, you need to pinpoint your target exactly on your destination. If you're 1 degree off, 1 degree doesn't sound like much, does it? 1 degree. In fact, if you go 100 yards and you're 1 degree off, you only missed it by 5.2 feet. That's not too bad. But if you go a mile and you're 1 degree off, you missed it by 92 feet. And if you're traveling from San Francisco to Los Angeles, you're going to end up 6 miles away from Los Angeles. If you were traveling from San Francisco to Washington, D.C., and you're off by 1 degree, you'll miss Washington by 42.6 miles. And if you start in Washington, D.C., and you're going to go around the world and expect to end up back in Washington, D.C., but you're off by 1 degree, you would end up in Boston. Just one little degree. Doesn't sound like much. Just one little wrong thing that goes uncorrected. Extended out into a lifetime. A very small flaw. Just a little sin. Uncorrected. Can lead to something much more serious. But a prudent man will avoid this by heeding reproof. And when confronted with something that is wrong, he will correct it. And then there's this, Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 3. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 3. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. In fact, this one is stated twice, exactly twice in the scriptures. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 12. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. It's the exact same language. If God says something once, is that enough for it to be important? If God says exactly the same thing twice, what does that tell us? It's pretty important. There is a time to say, I am trusting the Lord. And then there is a prudent moment in life when it is time to hide. Would you go back to Exodus chapter 9? And let's look at the plague of hail in Egypt. Exodus chapter 9, verse 18. The Lord is speaking to Moses, and he says, "Behold, tomorrow about this time I will cause it to rain a very grievous hail, such as hath not been in Egypt since the foundation thereof, even until now. Send therefore now, and gather thy cattle, and all that thou hast in the field, for upon every man and beast which shall be found in the field, and shall be brought home, the hail shall come down upon them, and they shall die. He that feareth the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. And he that regardeth not the word of the Lord left his servants and his cattle in the field." Now, if God tells you it's going to hail and the hail is going to be life-threatening, what do you think you should do? Stand in the field and ask God to protect you, or do just as he said and hide? Verse 24, "So there was hail and fire mingled with the hail, very grievous, such as there was none like it in the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And the hail smote throughout all the land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast, just as God said." There was a time to hide. Let me ask you this question. Why did they let Saul, before he became Paul, but after he was saved, born again, remember when they let him down over the wall in a basket to run away and hide? Why'd they do that? Go over to Acts chapter 9 and see the context. Acts chapter 9, verse 22. At the beginning of chapter 9, Paul had his Damascus Road experience, and he met the Lord Jesus in person and trusted him as his Savior, and then he began preaching, and it tells us in Acts chapter 9 and verse 22, "But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. And after that days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him, but their laying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket." Why didn't he stay and just trust the Lord? This time, it was prudent for Paul to hide. The faith part came in trusting the Lord to keep Saul concealed and safe. When you cross the street, you look to the left, you look to the right. You might even do it twice. Does that mean you're not trusting the Lord? No. You're simply being prudent. And when you do not see any cars coming, then you proceed across the street, and that's where the faith part comes in. You trust the Lord to keep you safe crossing the street. After all, you could trip on a little pothole in the street and fall down and a car come along and run over you, and anything can happen, right? You're prudent, and then you trust. Do you have, any of you have insurance of any kind? Why do you get insurance? Don't you trust the Lord? We have home insurance and auto insurance and life insurance and medical insurance. Why do we do that? Would you go to Ephesians chapter 1? Verse 7. In whom We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein, contained within the grace of God that gives us redemption through the blood of Christ, that gives us forgiveness of sins, contained within the grace of God, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. God uses prudence. If God uses prudence, then it certainly is valid for us to be prudent as well. Always desiring to know and understand the truth, making sure we know what we are dealing with, planning ahead, not letting people easily influence us, knowing when to be silent, being sensible about what to talk about in public and what not to talk about, knowing how to keep a secret, heeding warnings of danger, and knowing when to hide, always following an act of prudence with faith and doing it from the heart. If we can learn to be prudent, we'll know how to redeem the time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this excellent resource. There's so much involved in being prudent. I pray that you would teach us. Give us understanding. Build insight in our thinking. Help us to be sensible and know how to beware when it is time to beware. Thank you for prudence. May it grow and be effective in each of our lives. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.